There it is. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak here again today. John's out in Pittsburgh watching all kinds of sporting events. I think he had about a half a dozen. I think it includes soccer, basketball, and cheerleading, I think, if I got that correct. So I didn't excel at any of those. But I was thinking about what I'd like to speak on today, and I spent a considerable amount of time on the internet in appropriate ways. I actually, when I counsel people, I say, you know what? And I've mentioned this earlier. There's a saying for carpenters: measure twice, cut once. There's that old Amish joke where he says, "I cut this board three times and it's still too short." Right? I mean, So think before you do it. Well, I say when you're using the internet, when you're posting things, or when you're speaking, think twice, type once. So I like to quote. I like quotes. And this is Bartlett's Familiar Quotations. I actually have this very book in my library. But now with the internet, you don't need that. There's a site called BrainyQuotes.com, and you can. I have a couple of books. One that some good friends of mine bought me called The Portable Curmudgeon, because I'm a curmudgeon. I like irascible old grumpy people because I look in the mirror and see one every day, and I love quotes. All kinds. I like humorous quotes. Actually, this last week, I actually posted a quote from NCIS. It's Gibbs Rule Number 38 from Leroy Jethro Gibbs. Says, "There is no such thing as a coincidence." You know what? That's scriptural. If any of you are following Salem online, and you really should join our fan page, Sarge and I are the only ones that spend much time there. A couple other people, I think Mary Lou, you got it too. A killer quote that I got from a friend of mine down in Mississippi, on Charles Spurgeon about God's sovereignty. There are no such things. And that's a great quote. That's a great quote, even if it did come from NCIS. Because I told you, all truth belongs to God. So I don't care who said it. If it's true, there's a chapter and verse for it. So I found this quote. Christian quotes. There's a lot of Christian quotes out there. You know, some of them pretty good, some not so good. This one, I believe, is attributed to St. Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa. She's not my mother, but that's what they call her, okay? And here's the quote. "I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much." I personally have at times identified with this quote. However, not so sure I like it. I like some of it, but not all of it. And that's why I want to spend time on this morning. Because there's some definite truth in it. And by isn't way this is often the truth with many things. There's some truth in it. But there's other parts of it I'm kind of ill at ease with, and maybe I'm being a little anal. I've been accused of that on more than one occasion. Like if you say, you always do that, what am I going to say? Always? You mean every? No, not always. So God gives me grace, I'll settle it. But I think there's more to it than that. And what I want to spend time on in the morning is let's look at this. And let's see the truth that's in it. Let's see the parts that maybe are at ease. I went to the internet. Why? Because I got Wi-Fi. It's only DSL, but it works. And I plugged in, "Can God trust us?" By the way, if you put it in quotes, it puts it all together. Those of you that want to do it. If you do it separately, it'll look at "Can God trust us?" If you put them together, it sticks them together. A little technique for research. I got 90 million hits in less than a half a second. I didn't like very many of them. Here's one I got. See, that's what God's searching for. Why he created, redeemed us. God wants someone he can trust enough to call his friend. Got chills. Not good chills over that one. God wants to trust us. Here's another one. Maybe the only question isn't whether we can trust God. Maybe the question for those who want to live a life alive in God is, can God trust you? Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe he can trust you, but there are considerable amount of times he can't trust me. I'm singularly untrustworthy. Now, he entrusts things to us. the Word. He's entrusted the ministry of reconciliation to us. That's a great Greek study by the katalasso to bring around, that we can introduce people to it. But trust us? One more. Can God trust you enough to bless you? This had a heading. Said, my wife, who knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, I'm already worried. Why? Not that his wife shouldn't know stuff, but why doesn't he know this stuff? What's he say? She told me the other night, God trusts us, and when we sin, we hurt God's feelings. I listened to a series of sermons some time ago when I was out doing some training on God being impassive. Yet, God's feelings are not our feelings. Do you really think? We can grieve the Spirit. We can. And God does get angry, and God does love, and God does hate. But I'm telling you right now, it's nothing like the way we love, hate, and hurt and get grieved. Nothing like it. And to think that God's up there whimpering over my lack of reliability to him, I find that was the one that toasted me the most. So I thought, well, let's go to the Bible, see if I can find something along that line. I did find something reasonably close. Hebrews 5:2, he's talking about Christ, actually. Then he talks about Christ in Hebrews 5:3-1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our perfection, Christ Jesus. Consider Christ. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So there, Moses was trustworthy. Well, yeah, except, really? Moses? Have you read the book? Moses killed a guy and hid the body. Very trustworthy. He ran from justice. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 2:15, said, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So he got out of Dodge. That's not very trustworthy. Stand up for your actions. And of course, disobedience and unbelief. Later on in Numbers 20:8-12, God said, okay, the people were thirsty. They did complain a lot, but so do we. And God said to Moses, take the rod, gather the assembly, and you and your brothers, speak to the rock before their eyes will give forth water, bring water to the rock, to give the congregation drink. And Moses took the rod from before the God, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the people before the rock and said, I'm here now, ye rebels. He's ticked off, right? Here now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And then Moses did what God said? No, Moses didn't. What did God say? Speak to the rock. Lifted up his hand with his right, he smote the rock, not once but twice. He whacked that sucker, and it came out. Water came abundantly, congregation drank, and the God said to those, because you believe me not to sanctify the eyes of the children, you're not going in. You're going to be able to watch. You're not going in. So apparently, the one time I found out that God trusted somebody or was described as being faithful, the word there, pistos, that's where we get the word faith from, is trustworthy, subjectively trustful. Yeah, he was kind of faithful. Like me, follow me around. I'll be kind of trustworthy. Oh, I want to be trustworthy. I told you, guilt works on me. We've talked earlier about the lust. Approbation lust is one I have in spades. I want to be sure everybody's happy with me at all times, to my own deficit, whenever I can. And you know what I've found out over the years? I trusted Jerry the other night. Jerry said, there's five people in the room, at least one of them doesn't like you. I think we got more than five. I want to show a hand. No, never mind. It would crush me, okay? I used to say I was afraid of standing up and saying something foolish. I've since decided I'm going to say something foolish, and I just need to live with it. So there you go. I'll do my best. Can God trust man? Because that's what that lady said. He wants to be our friend. Now, God is a friend. Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Philos is the Greek word there. That's agapao is is sacrificial love. Philos is a deep, deep relationship love. God does seek that with us. But my trustworthiness is what makes it happen. I have trouble buying that. Psalm 103:4 says, He's God. He knows your deepest, darkest secret. He knows your frame, your dust. One of the commentators says this. By the way, this is quoted. We're going to find a lot of God's trust comes out of the Psalms. Any reason? Any idea why? David had a rough life. If anybody had a need to trust God, and we're going to see many, many of the verses I'm going to share with you, we're going to end up in the Psalms. One of the commentators said this, God knows our constitution, our temperament, our prevailing infirmities, our most besetting temptations. He perceives, he searches our innermost nature. Before the words come out of my mouth, God knows them altogether. Now, if that doesn't terrify you, you're not paying attention. I spoke this morning on fear. It's fearful to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. It's also God, perfect love, casts out fear because we fall in the hands of a living God and a loving Father. Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to put the trust in man, in God, the Lord, than the confidence of men. I'll be there for you. I just saw somebody posted something on Facebook the other day. Don't you think that when somebody says they're going to be there at such and such a time that they should be there for you? And if they're not going to be there, they should call in advance. Well, yeah. Life is what happens while you're making other plans. One commentator says, why is it better to trust in the Lord? He's certainly more able to help and more likely to help. It's the duty of us to trust the Creator. We don't. When we trust a man instead of him, we do him a disservice. Never mention the fact that we're patently unreliable. It's safer. Never be sure of our ground. We lie on mortal man. Never. Well, they meant well. How many things have happened in the face of that? Always secure in the hands of God. It's better effect on ourselves. To trust in man tends to make, I love this, a mean, crouching, and dependent individual. But confidence in God elevates, produces a sacred quietness of spirit, and sanctifies the soul. It's much better to trust in God as far as the result's concerned. For the human object of our trust falls from want of ability, from want of generosity, from want of affection, from want of memory. Oh, I forgot. I meant to do that. Slipped my mind. Does God forget? The Lord, so far from failing, does, according to Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly all that we're able to ask or think. So it's way better to trust God. Psalm 146 says, don't put trust in princes or the son of man, not Christ, but a son of like children of men, in whom there is no help. There's none to be trusted. Adam fell. Man's a helpless creature. Don't ever look for help there. All men are like the few men who are made into princes. They look better. I may preach on this sometime. There's a technique, and back in the old days when everybody used to ride skateboards, they had what they call posers. A poser is somebody who looks good, but they can't skate. A lot of posers. Pharisees, posers. It looked better. It said, bind their word on your forehead. What did they do? They put a little box and they put it around their head. And they on their wrist, and they were posers. But deep down where it counted, they weren't. Man is a poser. Man is a poser. More in promising than in performing. Isaiah 36:6 says, this is a great one, talking about trusting. It's a beautiful, powerful image. Trusting Pharaoh. It's like a broken reed, like a stick, like you try to walk with it, it snaps off and it stabs you in the hand. So it's supposed to support you and it injures you. That's trusting man. He said, the trust of the staff of the broken reed on Egypt, where if a man leaned, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that trust in him. I spoke about this earlier with Paul. Paul says, you know, you want somebody trustworthy, take a look at me. I spoke once on what I called Paul's three resumes. And he had a resume. This guy had a pedigree you can't match. Now, you should know, Paul did not like talking about himself. And when he spoke at this time, he was making the case of his apostolic authority against the Judaizers. So he didn't like doing it. As a matter of fact, at some point he says, I'm speaking as a man. He said, I really. But listen to Paul in Philippians 3. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he has more to trust in the flesh, I more. He said, I've got it with needs. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was the smallest tribe, but was also the favorite son of the patriarch, last son of his beloved wife. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee. That was good stuff. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I was dead. I pedaled the metal. Touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. I crossed every T. I dotted every. I did everything. He's really full of himself here. He's saying, if somebody has a reason to be trustworthy, you won't get any better than this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung. Skubala. What a great word. Skubala. Do you think he didn't think much of it? Look at that. Refuse, animal excrement, offscorings, rubbish. I don't think Paul was impressed with that stuff. If you recall, when I spoke on this, his third and his favorite resume was Paul, a slave to Jesus Christ. That was the only one he was proud of. But Paul said, yeah, you want somebody to trust, you can trust me. Should man trust God? There's two key words in the Old Testament that talk about this. I have quite a few. It was kind of exciting to do. What I did was I went in one of my software, I said, give me God and trust. It's to show up anywhere, and I got quite a collection of them. First word is kasha. It means to flee for protection, to trust. Ruth. Boaz speaking to Ruth. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. You wanted a great study. Do a study on that. The kinsman redeemer. The same word used by Job. At the end of Job, he says, I know that my redeemer liveth. The same word. I shall see him in my flesh on the last day. Beautiful study, the redeemer. Abraham was a redeemer when he rescued Lot. That's that same word. It's Gaol in the Hebrew. But Boaz, who's rescuing Ruth, says this, the Lord recompense your work, and a full reward be given you of the Lord God, under whose wings you are come to trust. Remember, Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She actually was not Jewish, but she wanted to go, your God will be my God, your people my people. That was Ruth. Second Samuel, I have two verses in 20. This is David speaking at the time was being pursued by Saul. Remember, Saul was God's anointed on the man side. Israelites said, we want a king like everybody else. Everybody else gets a king. Why can't we have a king? God said, you want a king? Here's what he's going to do. He's going to take your kids. He's going to take your money. He's going to take your thing. But you want a king? The worst thing God can do is give you what you want. He gave him what he wanted. And I'm sure you know that David had opportunities to kill Saul. He said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed, even though he was a lousy king. Of course, David eventually took over the throne. But in 22:3, David said, God of my rock, whom I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. And in 20:31, God's way is perfect. The Hebrew there says it's entire. It's complete. A buckler, a shield. It's all that trust him. Psalm 7:1. It's a Shigeon of David. Shigeon means a plaintive song or an elegy that would be performed. He sang unto the Lord concerning Cush the Benjamite, which many think was either Saul himself or one of Saul's henchmen out to get him. So David was being pursued. There's reasons why God's trust shows up so much in the Old Testament. It's simply because David was constantly being pursued. And he says, O God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all that persecute me and deliver me. In Psalm 16:1, he says, preserve me, for in thee do I put my trust. That's the word there. It's a miktam. It means a meditation, to preserve or to hedge about, you know, to build a protective around him. Psalm 18:2 is again David. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, horn of my salvation, my high tower. And again in 18:30, he said, God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. The words mean it's gone through the smelter. It's purified. It you can guarantee. You can bank on it. It's a buckler to all those who trust him. Psalms 36:7 is David again. He says, how excellent is your loving kindness. The children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Just like a baby bird being sheltered under the shadow of your wings. Proverbs 35 is actually from a prophet, Agar. He said, every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who trust him. That's the one word. There's one other, these are the two key, there's other words, but two key words in the Hebrew that talk about this. This word is batak, it means to hide for refuge, similar to trust. Now, I'm there for you. God's constantly saying this. 1 Chronicles 5:20, God enables them to defeat the Hagarites. This is what the verse says. And they were helped against them. The Hagarites were delivered into their hand and all that with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Entreated means to burn incense. They sought God out. God always answers. He is always trustworthy. Burn incense, to intercede, to entreat. It could mean to seek him in prayer too. David in 25:2 says, O God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. This guy had a time of it. From without and from within, his Saul chucked javelins at him when he was playing music. His son Absalom had sex with his concubines on the roof for everybody to see and got everybody to... And you know, when he lost him, he cried over Absalom, Absalom, my son. This guy did not have a nice life. Isn't it intriguing that all the time he goes back to trusting God? The word for shame means to be disappointed or delayed. I've told you on more than one occasion, and Sarge once even agreed with me. I said, don't worry, I will disappoint you sometime. And he said, don't worry, you already have. I remember you saying that. Oh, that just kills me. It does. But it's real. I wanted to be there for you, and I wasn't there. Psalm 43. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear. First service, I talked about fear. Fear is reverence, but fear is fear before a holy God. Yeah, it's fearful. I told you, remember, it's fearful to fall in the hands of a living God. It's gracious to fall into the arms of a loving Father. But it's still fear. It's still respect. And he said, fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 52:8 says, I trust in the mercy of God forever. Psalm 56:4, I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust, not fear. So that trust removes fear. Remember I said before, perfect love casts out fear. The Greek word there is the balo. We get ballistics from that. it just picks it up and it chucks it into the deepest ocean, never to be seen again. It's covered by the blood of Christ. Number 156, in God I put my trust, I will not be afraid. Number 62a, trust God at all times. Why? Pour out your heart. He's a refuge. You can see that language that comes through all the time, a refuge. Grew up with all the old hymns of the faith. They said, the Lord's my rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. See, when you're Baptist, they hammer these things into you. Every verse. We sang all 150 verses of Just As I Am till everybody came forward. No, just kidding. But the point is, a shelter, a refuge. Psalm 91:2, a lot of verses here, huh? He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. This probably was David, we're not sure. But the reason why it's probably David is because probably nobody in the Old Testament had more need to seek God's, to trust in God than David because of the experiences that he had. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah, that's Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. He is my salvation. He has become my salvation. Remember, there's three tenses of salvation. At a point in time in the past, we are now being saved. We will be saved. So right there it is in the Hebrew. Isaiah 50:10. Who among you that fears the Lord obeys the voice of the servant that walks in darkness has no light? You know what he says? Nobody. If you fear the Lord, you don't walk in darkness. You have his light. We read other places that that word is a light under our feet, a lamp and a light to our path. We walked home from visiting some friends last night. It was dark. By the way, my wife won at Domino's, but I did one, two, or three, so it wasn't too bad. But I turned on the light on our phone, and it's just enough to make a couple steps. That's all the farther we needed to go. That's what we get. Why doesn't God just light the whole thing to the finish line? I think I'd want to change directions. You want me to go there? No, thanks. He said, let him trust the name of the Lord, stay. The word there means to support yourself. Remember earlier we said if you stay on Pharaoh, the stick's going to break and stab you. It's a reed. It's not a good walking stick. You stay on the Lord. That Hebrew there. It does turn up in the New Testament too. There's two key words in the New Testament that are used for trust. First is patho. It means to persuade, induce someone to believe. Actually, as a form that ties into the word for faith is built into that too, to be convincing. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves. That's an important verb. We had. We don't have. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So that's trust. Hebrews 2:13 says, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me will put my trust in him. Pathel, I'm persuaded to believe. Is God going to help you tomorrow? You made it through today. God had plans for you? I guess we're still here. We're still sucking air. We're still alive. What's he going to do with us? We'll find out. But that trust, resting in his faithfulness. Man, I want to be as good as my word, and I will do my level best. But you know what? I'm going to drop a stitch somewhere. I'm going to do it because I've forgotten about it. I may do it because I overcommitted. Overcommit and underdeliver. I may have not even been honest with you. I was hoping you'd forget. All kinds of reasons. Or I didn't understand. I misunderstood. Not God. The second word, helpizo. It's where we get the word hope. I spoke on hope earlier. There's a lot of questions now about the hope that came into Washington. You know, that was a big, we have hope. Well, you know what? I don't care who's in the White House. You're hoping in the White House, or you're hoping in the township, or you're hoping in the government, or you're hoping in anything that's aligned with men exclusively, sooner or later you're coming up short. Elpidzo. Means to trust, to hope for, to, in a religious sense, to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. That's actually a pretty good bumper sticker. I wouldn't put it on my car, but please be patient. God's not finished with me yet. That's not a bad bumper sticker because he's not done. He's shaping me. And by the way, how do I get there? Jesus said, speaking to God about those God gave him, said, sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. What does that mean? You want to grow in grace and knowledge? You better dive into the word. Where did David get his trust? Where did Paul get his trust? Elpidzo. 1 Timothy 4:10 said, we labor. We're working again. Say, doggone it. I once told John Winterstein, I said, I'd like to be independently wealthy. He said, I wouldn't mind being independently wealthy, just so I was wealthy. You know, I mean, labor. You know, I've done a lot of work with people around the whole process of career development and employment and work. And I tell people, I said, you know, your work should be a gift of yourself. I even named this organization I'm creating around work as gift of self. Because I want to give back. I've got giftedness. I want to give it back. I'm not that fond of labor. That's why that commercial is so good on Geico. Hey, what day is it? Wednesday. Hump day, you know? It's hump day because I'm getting out of here. Now I got three in, I got two left. Woohoo! I can hardly wait. Somebody asked me recently, you're going to retire soon? Well, it works age-wise, but nothing else in my life. And so, no, I don't think so. So I've decided as best of my ability, I don't want to do stuff I don't like doing because I'm going to have to do it for a lot longer. By the way, I think that's biblical. Matthew 24 talks about identifying the talents you've been given and giving them back to God. So whatever your giftedness is, you better be using it. Now, trust me, no problem with God's plan for the ages. When you drop a stitch, God's still going to cover it. But you lose. And those around you lose when you don't tap into. One of the greatest things about this little church is the fact there's such great teaching. But all you do is soak this stuff up like a sponge and lay around on the couch all week and come back next Sunday. You never squeeze any of it out in the world. You're squandering a gift from God. And I'm looking in the mirror when I say that because I feel the same way. Got to find ways to do it. We labor. We suffer reproach because we trust. Downstairs in men's class, I'm talking about, you know, checking your Jesus. There are Jesus out there that if you look for him in the Bible, you ain't going to find him because the Jesus that people are going to hear this Sunday in church is going to be gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus loved everyone. Friend of sinner. Yeah, absolutely. All those things are true. But you know what Jesus said? I'm coming to bring a sword. I'm not coming to bring peace. I'm going to divide families. I'm going to challenge you, and that's what I call the bad news. Yeah, you're going to have to hear how bad off you are. And so oftentimes you talk to people about the need for salvation. They don't see the need for it because they're not that bad. There's way worse people in the world. They can pick up the paper today and read stories about people that are a lot worse than them. And I had a dear friend years back. He actually was raised Jewish but didn't practice at all. And I told you about him before. He thinks God's got this big old, you know, thing, you know, big old scale. And he's going to pile up all the nasty stuff on one side, all the nice stuff on the other side. And God's probably even going to put his thumb on that scale because it's going to come really close. But God's a good guy. He's a God of love, after all. And he's going to put his thumb on that scale, and you're getting in. except for really, really bad guys, like maybe Hitler and Saddam Hussein. But most everybody's going to, because why? Because God's a God of love. God's also a God of justice. You know what? His love is what makes him just. We suffer reproach. Not all that popular. You know, sometimes you turn on the TV, you listen to the radio, you read articles, you just listen to people talk, and now we have to think about putting that on the internet. Should we post? Who's going to see that? You know, see that and say, you know what? If people really understand Jesus like they should, he should not be as popular as he is. And I mean that respectfully. That's why I like those check your Jesus. Everybody wants them, send me an email. I'll send you all my hashtags. There's some pretty good ones. I said, you better check your Jesus, because if that's your Jesus, he's not in scriptures. And Jesus is in every verse, in every book, from Genesis to Revelation. All the way back in the Proto-Evangelion in the Old Testament, where he talked about he'll bruise his heel, you'll crush his head. That's Jesus. So it's all about him. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, we don't trust in uncertain riches. I just listened to somebody the other day said, my 401k is now a 101k. I thought that was pretty funny, actually. I'm power attorney for my mom, so I have to take care of stuff. And I talked to her. I said, should I put it in a CD? She said, I don't know why. Unless you have $1 bazillion that earns it. I said, you probably get more just keep it in the under the mattress. At least it won't lose any. Well, I guess it will in terms of inflation, but really. You know what they say, a million here, a million there. Sooner or later, that runs into real money. There's some real problems with that quote. God trusts me so much. These are some of the ones I came up with. Number one, I can handle everything that comes in my life because I know God trusts me and he won't give me anything I can't handle. So when it happens, I'll be able to handle it. I don't think so. Another one, I don't really need God. He's given me all I need. Now, scriptures say all that pertains to life in God. Yeah, it's all there, but we have to continually fall back on him. If there are people that suddenly go into church and get a quick little scoot of feeling good about yourself and then go out during the week and do whatever they want. Now, God has provided that. Has he equipped you? He's given you the resources to do it, but you still need him. Finally, God's limited by my strength. That I find terrifying. God is limited by my strength. Even Paul, probably one of the most extraordinarily brilliant and devout people you'll ever meet, he knew he couldn't be trusted. How do I know that? Romans 7. I'm so glad he included that verse in there. It makes me feel a whole lot better about me, because I don't feel that good about me. 7:18 says, I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I'm looking for something worthwhile. I got nothing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that's the word katargezomai, to work out fully, I find not. I want to do it. And boy, if anybody wanted to do it, the Apostle Paul had to be it. Remember what he left. He wasn't just checking coats at the death of Stephen. He was probably, remember, the Sadducees voted for Stephen's death. To the point where he showed up, they were afraid of him. Remember he said, persecuting the church, I was pedal to the metal. He said, I want to do it, but I can't do it. 7:19 says, for the good that I would do, that's agathos, good by its very nature, I don't do. evil which I would not, I do. That word there is proso. It means I continually practice. It wasn't that he slipped up. He constantly finds himself doing the very things. The evil, the word there is kakos. You know, this bad stuff. Constantly. I'm constantly doing those types of things. Okay, that's how it's not false. Now I've got to show you how it's true. Because there is part of this little quote, and I want to pick on anybody, that's actually got some truth in it. And I have identified with it. I feel like, why is God trusting me with this? But then I realize, Barry, he not trusted you with anything. He knows your frame. That's that old joke, you haven't lost control, you never had it. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:13. I spoke on this many years ago. 1997, I was lucky enough, if you want to call it that, to get into the New York City Marathon on a lottery. People have said, oh yeah, you've run, have you run Boston? I would have to improve my best time by like an hour and a half to qualify for Boston. Maybe someday they'll let me in under a pity. I don't know. But I managed to get in once to New York in 97. And I still remember running down one of these streets. I don't know. There are many streets in New York. And we went through all the boroughs of Manhattan. It was really quite an experience. The weather was horrible. Andy and I were talking about some friends about that last night. It was raw and rainy. It was miserable. But you train for like 6 months to run 26 miles. You don't let something like a little rain get in your way. 30,000 finishers. I saw this big sign. Even walls have doors. I like that. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. They didn't know it. They were quoting scripture. Even walls have doors. What's the wall? A wall is a physiological fact. When you reach a certain point between mile 18 and 24, I've never missed it. I've heard of people that don't experience the wall. I experience it very quickly. That you can't walk and it hurts to run. Lactic acid builds up in your tissues. You use all your muscle sugar. You're just shot. But by gum, I want to get to that finish line. I hear there's a tape there. I've never seen it. But I hear there's a tape there. The guy who just won the Berlin Marathon a week ago finished in 2:03. I can't get halfway in 2:03. And I'm slowing down. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no temptation taken you, temptation, but such as is common to man. The word there means it's we all have them. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. It's King James, because I grew up Baptist. But will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? And I thought then, I said, no, wait a minute. I escaped it. I don't have to bear it. Well, that word escape is word ekbasis. It also can mean a way through. So even walls have doors. And also he included hupo phero. Phero means to bear up. Hupo means under. You're like, you're bearing up under. So God can place these things in your life, but bear in mind that it has been allowed. My buddy John Gill says this. For as he by his permission makes way for the temptation or affliction. Remember what happened to Job? Only stuff God let happen. That was it. That's an old David Rich. Remember David Rich's book, 10 Things You Don't Want to Turn? God keeps Satan on a leash. Yep. Something bad happens, God signed off on it. Steve Brown used to say, there's nothing in your life that hasn't passed through nail-scarred fingers. Hand. I like that. God signed. That was what happened. So Gill says the same thing. By his permission makes way for temptation or affliction, which otherwise could not come. It can't come if God does. Do you think God says, I didn't know Barry was going to do that? Oh, that's Satan. I turn my back on him and he goes and bothers my sin. God's hand was on it. Is God sovereign or not? He knows how, in what manner, the best time delivers people out of the temptation. It also gives grace sufficient to endure it. Remember, Paul asked three times. God said, I actually listened to this preacher last week, said, well, you got to ask three times because it ask and it shall be given, seeking you to find, knock should be open. See, you got to ask three times and God will say yes. Didn't work for Paul. He seemed to think that was like, and he told some story about going to a store and you need help from one of the clerks. And first you ask. And then you got to go find them. Then you're going to knock on, hey, can you help me here? God is not working at Lowe's. So we bear up under it. It's a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, look at this, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Yeah, we're going to get roughed up. We're bearing about in our body the Christ. Yeah, this is not. The older I get, the more I believe that statement, old age is not for sissies. You don't see three-year-olds saying, is that my crayon there? Let me get it. And reach. Now, three-year-olds are pretty flexible. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. By the word there's axios. It's literally a scale. Okay, here's the sufferings. Here's what's coming. Whoa! There is no comparison. And we know other places that it doesn't seem to be good. It's grievous. But it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So the trade-off is there. Here's my revision of Mother Teresa. This is Papa Barry's, I guess. Not Mother Teresa's, Papa Barry's. Here's what I say. I know that God will never give me anything that I cannot handle without Him. That's where our trust needs to lie. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this extraordinary opportunity, this little church nestled between cornfields to study and learn about you. Help us to look to you for the strength and wisdom that's theirs. Help us to trust in you as we saw in the Old Testament because you alone are trustworthy. Help us to seek out your help because we know it's always there and we always have the victory in you. In Jesus' name.